Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and I know that a number of you are a little weary, and I understand that. I'm not going to be real long, and I'm not going to be that upset if you don't be all perked up, okay? Just try not to fall asleep, and I'll be okay, okay? So Luke chapter 12. I want to begin reading in verse 41. Luke chapter 12, verse number 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speak thou this parable unto us, or even to all. And Jesus said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? To give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Our Father, we are so thankful tonight that we have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to serve a wonderful God. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the health and strength that you give us and how you allow us to be able to come together and worship and sing and pray and fellowship and give testimonies and be in a good local church. And how you give us families and bless us with children and so many wonderful things that come from a great and a mighty loving God. And I thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray, dear God, that you would take these thoughts that you have certainly impressed very heavily upon my heart these last few days, and I pray that you would help me to convey them as the Lord Jesus conveyed to the people there when he gave these many, many years ago. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us in a very special way. Take me as your servant, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit, bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I was thinking back this week over a lot of different things the last 8, 9, 10 days, and my mind traveled back a number of years ago on a Thursday night. I found myself sitting there along with a number of preachers in the boardroom of the newly constructed Fairfax County Government Center there in Fairfax, Virginia. And there was a discussion going on that night about whether we should change the way the county dealt with situations to have churches either to get a special use permit or to get a special exception. And a number of preachers were there that night. A number of independent Baptist preachers showed up, and a number of denominational preachers showed up as well. And I remember sitting back in that boardroom that night and Three of the most well-known independent Baptist pastors here in Northern Virginia, including Dr. Calvert at that time, and Brother Ben Sanders was there at that time, and a pastor by the name of John Bonds. And each of them began to speak. There was someone from Capital Baptist there that night. Two attorneys stood up and spoke that night. And then there was an assistant pastor from the Church of God stood there, and one other. And each of them were speaking on this matter, and we were trying to convince the board at that time, the board of supervisors at that time, that it was already tough enough for churches to be able to get through this difficult process that they had come up with get a building built at that time. And this was, as I said before, in October of 1992 that this took place. At that time, we were already under construction of this building that we're in now. But I remember the men speaking that particular night, and the man got up who was not only a pastor, wasn't a pastor at that time, but he had been a pastor of one of the larger independent Baptist churches in this area. And he began to speak to the board, and he began to remind them of something. He said, there have been only three independent Baptist church buildings that have been built here in this county the past 20 years. And he was a builder at that time, and he had been involved in church building, and he was trying to tell them the problem is that this county has made it so difficult for a church to be able to build a building. I mean, you can build a saloon, or you could build anything, a bar, easier at that time than you could build a church. And so as pastors, we would take in that time. We want to go into a neighborhood, you got to get a special use permit, or you got to get a special exception. You got to go beg all your neighbors to be able to let in the community what helps the community. And all of that you got to go through, not to mention all of the tens of thousands of dollars that would be involved in just building something that's going to change a community. Anybody will tell you who've been around here any length of time that the 18, 19 years that this church has been in this community, it's changed this community. And I mean, people fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. We don't want churches to be our neighbors and all of these things. And so we were pretty serious about getting them not to make it any more difficult. A special use was tough enough. And now they were talking about changing it, that churches could have special exception. And I remember that particular night that a statement was made in the testimony of this pastor who was trying to convince the board not to change from special use to special exception. They had made this rule in 1975. This is 1992. And he made this statement. He says, there's only been one church since 1975 that this county has ever approved without meeting the restrictions that's required by the county. Now, I don't have time to go into all of that, but one of the things that's required in Fairfax County to build a building, you must have what they call setbacks. In other words, you must have a building and have a minimum, and for churches, they make it anywhere between 50 and 75 feet or 150 feet, anything they can. It seems like we've got to have all kinds of trees around us, maybe because we shout a lot or scream a lot or praise God a lot. I don't know. But they seem to think that we need to take us and put us in a little area and surround us by big, tall trees so nobody will see us or hear us. But the minimum requirement for a church or any building in Fairfax County is 25 feet. In other words, you must have 25 feet of what they call space around your entire building before you begin your parking lot. The reason that building is over there is because between our property here and over there, there's only 10 feet. Therefore, we had to put that wall up there, $40,000 wall up there, and put give those people on the other side of that wall 10 feet of our property because we don't have the maximum. And so when he made that, he said there was only one church, and he looked over and he knew I was there, and he didn't call the name, but the name of that church that they made a special exception was Crossroads Baptist Church. And by the way, since that happened, they have changed the rule now that in order to build a church in Fairfax County, you must be on at least 3 acres of land. But nevertheless, God worked it out that of all the churches in Fairfax County, we were the only ones during that period of time to get an approval with less than the normal, just the normal. I mean, we had setbacks. We had 8.5 feet and 10 feet and all around here. And this building, I can't even tell you, this building's supposed to seat 240 people because we have 60 parking spaces. And all of that happened, and it's all because God did something for the Crossroads Baptist Church, where it's been taking us years and years to be able to find out what that total purpose is. And I won't go into the land across the street, and I won't go into all of the other things that are going on. I won't go into how the Child Development Center across the street has the same situation. They've gone through different setbacks, and they've allowed it to be approved, and probably no other facility like that in this county, and even maybe in the country, that's approved by that. And as I was thinking about that, and I've thought about that many, many times over the years, and then last week, I saw in a short period of time, I'm talking about hours, not weeks, not months, not years, hours, what we've been trying to do for years, in hours, God turned it around and bestowed favor upon the Crossroads Baptist Church. And then once again, it hit me, hit me, like more than over the years, why he did that. And very quickly tonight, I want to remind us of something from this passage. Jesus was giving a parable. And he was gathered there with his disciples. And in verse number one, he'd just been given a parable about watchfulness. And we've heard this preached, and we've talked about watchfulness. He's talking about if you're a servant of Almighty God, and you're a servant, or you're a steward, and you've given something, you ought to be doing that, watching, not knowing when the master may come. And we don't understand that. We're saved. We're children of Almighty God. And we're to live every day of our life watching, not knowing, but expecting at any time the Master could come. And the one thing that I want him to find me doing is doing that which he has given me the responsibility of doing. So when he gave this parable about watchfulness, and if the steward had known, or when the master was coming, then he would be busy. And by the way, if all of us in here tonight knew that tomorrow morning Jesus was going to show up, we'd get more busy than we've ever been before. Everything would change. Our thoughts, my habits, where I go, what I say, how I pray. I guarantee you there'd be no 5-minute prayer meetings. There'd be no empty times of praising. There'd be no dingling in sin. There'd be no lapse of time. As a matter of fact, there'd probably be no sleep that we'd take, because the master is coming. And he challenged them about watchfulness. And Peter asked this question in verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? He said, Lord, are you talking just about us? Or are you talking to all? And you read the context, and Jesus is saying, anybody who professes to be a steward, that's who I'm talking to. And we know that all of us are stewards. And he goes on and he talks about a faithful steward had been entrusted with the Lord's household. and had the responsibility to provide for other people. Look at verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? A steward had the responsibility here to be concerned about other people. We often, and every time we think about stewardship, we think about things. We think about making the best of the things that God has given to me. I want to remind us of something tonight. God has saved us, and God has placed us in this life, and God has given us things that we're to be concerned about people, not about things. And this steward had the responsibility that when those other people had a need, his responsibility was to provide for them and take care of them and treat them in the right way. And we've got to understand that God says we are stewards. We have a responsibility. I mean, when it comes to my talent, when it comes to my time, when it comes to my treasure, I've got to understand I'm a steward. And one day the master has come and he has entrusted me with something, not just for my benefit, not that I might have self-indulgence, not that I might just enjoy myself, but I have a responsibility that God places me in a family or in a situation or in a church or in a community or on a job to be a steward. Amen. That ministers to other people. And he goes on in this story and he comes up to a very familiar passage to most, if not all of us. We heard it mentioned here this morning. The steward was to be involved in other people and not involved in self-indulgence. This is a fundamental principle taught by Jesus Christ. He said in verse 47, look at it. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now, that verse has always troubled me because I believe from a little boy that I've been blessed of God. I believe from a little boy, I've been given much by God. I believe that God has blessed me, has blessed my family, has blessed my church. And God knows my heart every single day of my life. When I take a moment and I look at my family and I look at my life and I look at what I have and I look at what I've seen and I look at what I've been, where I've been, I keep having this thing that all the time is saying, to whom much is given, you've been blessed. And I know the will of God. I know the purpose of God. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm reminded it's dangerous to know a lot and have a lot when the master's coming.
Amen.
Because their degrees in heaven, I believe, according to this passage, and their degrees in hell, according to this passage. God says the steward who knew his master's will. In other words, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know my responsibility. I know what God's given me, and it's very, very plain in my life. And if I don't maximize it, I'll be beaten with many stripes. Well, you take the other person that may live like the devil, never do anything, never understand anything, never been in a good fundamental Bible-believing church, doesn't understand what Bible to use, doesn't understand how to live, doesn't understand how to be separated, doesn't understand any of the things, will be beaten with few stripes. By the way, if that verse has never bothered you, it ought to bother you. Every Christian person is a steward. I can indulge in all the benefits of this life all I want to. I can get all the education, and I can earn all the money, and I can do all the things that I want to, and I can enjoy this life. But it isn't going to change the fact what I have, what I know, what I've learned comes from God, and I'm to be a steward. I want you to get that and understand that. And if I know my responsibility and don't do it, I'm going to be judged more harshly than the person who didn't know his responsibility. All right? I want you to understand that. But that's not where the verse stops. That's bad enough. By the way, that ought to keep you on your knees. That ought to keep you looking and searching. But then he goes on and he says, the end of that verse, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." That's where it hits me even harder. Personally, I believe I have a greater responsibility to people than most people in here tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. You know why? Because I've been given more. I believe, and I tell our COBA pastors this all the time, I believe God expects more out of me than any one of them. You know why? I've been more places. I've spoken more places. I've seen more things. I've done more things. And I believe the loving God sits up in the heaven and he looks at people, and to whom much is given, by God, much is required from God.
Yeah.
Now here's the problem. You are part of a ministry that's been given much.
Amen. Amen.
God places in the church as it pleases him. And for some reason, the God of heaven looked down upon this church, and for whatever reason he has, he decided, I'm going to give it much. Anybody who knows anything about fundamental Christianity today will say we're blessed.
Amen.
If you compare this local church with fundamental independent Baptist church, which I believe is the most New Testament church on the face of the earth, when you compare this church, all you can say, much has been given.
That's right. It's good.
Can't deny that.
Right.
Well, if you believe that, then you have to believe the other part of it.
That's right. Right.
Much is required.
Yeah.
What has God given us that's so clearly seen here all the time? Look around this place and you see the diversity of people. That's not the norm of every church. But that's the norm of the Bible.
Amen.
New Testament Christianity is diversity. In other words, God says, if I'm there, if Jesus is there, and the Spirit is there, and the Word is there, then it ought to attract all kinds of people. And He blessed us with diversity of people. And you look around this place, and you see in this church people with diversity have dedicated their possessions. Let me tell you something. There are some people in this church that believe in laying up treasures in heaven. That's a blessing. Now, I'm not saying everybody's doing that. But I'm saying that if you're in this church, you're benefiting from it.
That's right. That's right.
The average New Testament church, fundamental church in this country, less than 50% of the people give consistently tithes, offerings, missions. There's never been a time that this church has been in that category. That's something God's given. It's very obvious in this place that it has a divine power. There are places where they fill the baptistry every several months. We turn it on every Sunday. You know why? People get saved. And after we heard in Sunday school, after they get saved, they ought to get baptized. And that's something that happened on a regular basis. All of that falls under much giving. And I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And on. I don't have to talk about the talent, the gifts. That choir?
Yeah.
You'd have a hard time in a local New Testament church matching that. Anywhere. Oh, you find some people that may not like the style of music we sing or how it, but let me tell you something. It ministers, and you've got people with gifts in talent, consistent, dedicated ministers of all kinds of people from all over the world on a consistent basis. That's part of the much that's given. And I can go on and on. Oh, we have a pretty nice building. Especially for a New Testament church in this day and age in this area. A pretty nice building. Not to mention we have a child care center that probably no other church in all of America has anything like that. That's part of the much that's been given. Now, and I can go on and on and on. Now, if you believe, and I want you to listen to me, if you believe this local church fits in the category of much being given, say amen and then go back to sleep.
Amen.
That was a pretty weak amen.
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 So, since much has been given, let me tell you, bam, 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 four things that's required of every steward. If much has been given, and it has, then first of all, there's a greater accountability. In other words, Jesus said, of him shall much be required. And that servant which knew his Lord's will. You know what? We know when it comes to the souls of mankind. Keep in mind, he's talking about a steward's responsibility to other people. In other words, I'm here. I'm a steward. Much has been given to me. I know a lot. I'm responsible for a lot. Then much is required. There's a greater accountability for me going and for me giving.
Amen.
For the sake of other people. Secondly, there's a greater responsibility. God's going to keep a different record of us than he did the non-gospel preaching church in some other place.
Amen.
Mark it down. We know his will. I have a greater responsibility. In other words, I had a greater responsibility to teach others, a greater responsibility to train others, a greater responsibility to help others. Why? Much has been given. There's a greater accountability, a greater responsibility, and then on top of that, there's a greater liability. Shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, he's going to keep an account of what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm responsible for doing it, and then he's going to spank me if I don't do it.
Amen.
And if there's a greater accountability that God keeps a record of, and a greater responsibility that I know, and a greater liability if I don't, then the only thing left for me to do to understand is there needs to be a greater availability.
Right.
I need to make myself available to maximize what God has given me. I don't know why God in heaven would give us as much as he had. I'm convinced it has nothing to do with the fact of how spiritual we are. I'm always reminded when God does something to a church, you can't say it's because, boy, we just love God more than anybody else, and we're doing more than anybody else, and we pray more than anybody else, and we live right more than anybody else. That's not the case. Keep in mind, God would have spared Sodom, the Gomorrah, the wicked place in the world, if he could have found 10 righteous. We probably have 10 righteous in here. Righteous, and not righteous in perfection, but righteous in doing what's right for God. But he did. And God has looked down upon us and saw fit to bless us in a special way. We're going gung-ho here in weeks and months and years to come.
Amen.
It's about time we realize what we already know. Much has been given. Accountability is there. God keeps records.
Amen.
Responsibility, we know because we're taught and preached and learn on our own all the time because we're Bible-believing Christians. That liability is there to know and not do when the master comes. God's going to deal with. Best thing for me to do right now is to make myself available. Pastor Kenny does a wonderful job soul winning and preaching and telling us all the time, it's about people. It's about people. People, people, people all around. You walk outside of this door, you go on your job, you go deal with other people in churches that are committed to church and not have been given
what you've been given in your life, God's going to hold us accountable for. We're about to be able, and I say this sincerely from my heart, and I mean every word of it, we're about to be able to do for others. Others, that's the key. People, community, around the country, around the world, like nothing I've even read about that's coming up. And God wants to say, us to understand, if I've given you much, I require much.
Amen.
And you are accountable. You better be responsible. And you better understand there's a liability.
Amen.
So make yourself available to be a steward, because you never know when the master is going to come and say, give an account of your stewardship. Our Heavenly Father,